Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast where we talk about musicals and everything that they can teach us. I'm Zane C. Weber, and with me, as always, are
Julie Eisentrager
and
Miranda Selwood.
And today, our super special guest is none other than the one and only
Joel O'Brien.
Joel O'Brien!
Yay!
Actor, singer, dancer, quadruple threat.
Cabaret performer, comedian, try to be a comedian, stand-up comedian.
Septuple threat, yeah.
Wonderful. And what musical did you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about the musical Sweeney Todd.
Doesn't everyone want to talk about Sweeney Todd?
Well, have you done it on the show before?
No. We haven't, no.
Oh, okay, good.
We saved it just
for me.
Just for you.
I guess I'm the first. So I'm doing Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street at the moment.
Now, do you have a special relationship with this show?
It's my favorite Sondheim musical. So, yeah.
Oh wow, God, you are jumping way ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes.
We haven't done the quiz yet.
We
haven't even done the theme song yet.
Is it a theme song?
Of course there's a theme song,
Joel. Okay, all right. Let's get to know Joel a little better.
Getting to know you.
All right. Now that Miranda's had her little bit.
Had a great time.
What musical character would other people compare you to?
I was talking to people about this a couple of days ago, just like, hey, what do you think I should play? And the first thing that comes to people's mind is Grease and being in it, but not like the T-Bird, but actually being like the nerd Eugene. Which is like, I would love to play that role. Got to like the final round for one of the productions of touring for Grease and got cut because I wasn't a good enough dancer. But I'm like...
excuse me, aren't you hashtag mainly a dancer?
Hashtag professional dancer. Isn't that right, Miranda?
Yes, it is true. Oh, he is a professional dancer.
I'm never going to live that down. But also like looking at people, they ask me like, oh, you should probably do stuff like producers and be Bloom and whatnot. That's what they perceive me to be, which is great.
What musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Pretty much the same thing. Like, I think I've got like a good judge of character for what the kind of person
I am. So you don't
want
to be Danny?
No, I don't. I really want to be Sandy, actually. That'd be great.
I would watch.
And you don't want to be Ula?
I don't think I have the legs for Ula, unfortunately.
I don't think you do either, though. Just saying.
It's about who you are on the inside.
I know, right?
I've seen you split.
And the quality of your blonde wig.
Well, you saw it a couple of years ago. Can't get them anymore.
Oh, darling. Daily stretching.
No, but literally, like, I go for the best friend character, the comic relief, someone who doesn't act too seriously, because I don't like acting really seriously, which is what it is.
Is the worst.
I know. One of the characters that I saw recently that I really would like to play would be there's a character called Michael in a musical called Be More Chill. And he has a song called Michael in the Bathroom. And he's just basically having a panic attack whilst at a party because his social buddy left him. And I'm like, yep, that's me to a T.
Relatable.
Such relatable.
Well, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's wonderful that you're self-realized.
Yes.
So you've mentioned a lot of roles that you would like to play, but what is your dream role?
Ooh. Well, obviously I chose Sweeney Todd for a reason. I really enjoy and... I don't know, sympathize with Tobias a lot. So that's one of my dream roles I would love to play. But going away from that musical, I do like the musical I Love You Because, the main character, Austin Bennett. Miranda loves it.
I love that show. The sad thing about that show is that the cast recording that exists, the guy who plays Austin is, there are points where it's difficult to believe he is a straight man.
So would that at those points be all of the show?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But the concept of the show is a little odd, and in the sense that that character, Austin, gets a lot of the songs and the essentially the plot lines that would normally go to the female of the couple.
Yeah.
So it's exacerbated by that.
Yeah, but it's a modern day romantic love story where like the roles are reversed.
But the roles are reversed.
Yeah, and I think the way the recording that I think we're thinking about the same recording. He's very like, you know, neurotic in the way he's doing it, and that's what I love.
It's
to
not
do
that
as well.
Of mine. It's literally the and the. It's just a little camp for me.
Just too camp.
The sibilants.
Yeah.
But there's one of the roles that I would love to play. I'd also like to go back to you two would love this. I would love to go back to a musical, you know, I Love You Perfect Now Change, because that was I did that back at uni for my third year musical.
Yeah.
And that's where I really found my footing as a performer, as a funny person. Just like I kind of realized, oh, this is the kind of performer that I am. And I'd love to like go back and do it as a four-hander, as it, you know, usually as it is supposed to be. I did it as a, like, we had a group of 28 people to do it.
Oh, yeah. No.
So that is a huge cast.
It was double cast. So like we had like half the people do it one night, half the people do it the other night. And I would just love to do it where it's just like, oh, you have to learn the entire script.
The four people would be intense.
Oh yeah. But that's challenge though.
Intensely terrifying.
How we did it.
Whew.
When I directed it in 2011. 2011?
Don't look at me.
Yeah,
like
floods.
I
we got flooded. So 2011. It's the only show I ever remember. But yeah, we did down to just the four casting, and it is a roller coaster of quick changes.
We did eight, and I was like, I'm sleepy by the end of act one. So I don't know how you did it with four.
When there's just four of you, you have no time to be sleepy.
Yeah. Weren't you like the priest in the end of act one anyway? As in like... Do you swear?
Yeah. I wasn't the priest.
Yeah, but like, but there's two of them.
I was the lady priest.
The lady priest.
Clergy.
The clergy
woman.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, how do you sleep after that?
You don't. I'm saying I wanted to.
You wanted to. Okay, fair enough.
There's a bed there.
She could have used it. There is a bed there.
Very uncomfortable.
All right.
Yeah, so getting off track.
We know what your favorite Sondheim is, but what's your go-to shower song?
I really don't have one at this current point in time, but my housemate that I live with, he...
Do you have complaining neighbours?
Yes, we have complaining neighbours. I live with like two other musical theatre people, so we're singing all the time. Also making, like, we do what musical theatre people do and just like kind of singing a bit off key because we're great professional singers. So we just sing pretty much anything and everything, but usually my go-to shower songs like stems from Queenie Was a Blonde, which was the Wild Party, which my other housemate loves to sing as well, and it's gotten ingrained into my psyche, and it's not good. There's also that stuff from the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. Which is really weird having Laura Michelle Kelly, I think, doing her, you know, her fantasy towards that. Those are kind of my songs that I go for. And usually what I sing in the shower is kind of the show that I'm doing at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a great place to try and get those lyrics down.
Trying to get those lyrics down, trying to get like those technique down. And
because
then,
you
and
can't then have like, a book in the shower.
No, that's right.
No. I actually had it where I was trying to learn a script, and I had we have like a shower curtain, had it open, and then like, it's on like the bathroom counter, and I'm just kind of like learning the stuff, and I was going back and forth trying to learn the lyrics, and it just got completely soaked. The script did, but we cleaned it. It's what happens.
All right. So the controversial question has arrived. You have to delete a musical from existence. What musical is it?
Oh, it's such a hard decision. Les Mis. Look, kind of controversial because I know so many people love it. But with going to my 3-year musical theatre course, it's just been overdone for me personally. Everyone knows the lyrics to One Day More. I've had to sing it. I've had to sing it with you, Miranda, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Singing with me is fun.
It's always fun. I always have a great time with Miranda.
You can take sarcasm out of that.
I was trying not to be sarcastic.
But I just hate that song.
I hate the concept of singing for 3 hours where there's no like, oh, the entire dance move is, oh, we're walking up and walking back down. We're on the barricade now. And his shot.
I'm going to put a tap number in there. You know that, right?
Oh, please do. Yeah. I'm really excited for that. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what Les Mis suffers for is the fact that you can't really touch it, change it, interpret it in any different way. Like it is the way that it is.
You should be able to, but people don't.
Well, yeah.
Because people expect a certain way for it to be. But people do, because people aren't very
but
good.
But there, as we learned pretty early on in doing this podcast, there are a group of people that do not like Les Mis.
Cool. That makes me one of them. Yay.
Yeah. I like it. Sorry, guys.
And you're entitled to your opinion.
I'm impartial.
I don't want to
watch it. Put it that way. I'm very happy that I'm in it, but I don't want to watch Les Mis.
I prefer Miss Saigon over Les
Mis. Oh, God, no.
Ooh. Why not?
Like, that's controversial.
That is controversial.
I dislike it because I like
helicopters.
Yes, helicopters. Also, the engineer is a character.
The engineer is a fun character. Yeah.
And also, it's just fun.
Oh, it tickled me.
I've never heard anyone describe Miss Saigon as a fun musical.
Yeah, it's not a fun musical.
It's just really, like, fun.
It's just fun. You know why I like death?
But you don't like Les Mis. I'm so confused.
And we're talking about Sweeney Todd.
All right. Well, let's segue from that into a break, and we'll come back and talk about the history of Sweeney Todd. All right, Joel, so what can you tell us about Sweeney Todd?
Okay, well, what can I tell you about Sweeney Todd? Well, firstly, the original character Sweeney Todd dates back previous from the musical. It originally had a story back in 1847, I do believe, with one of the little stories, storybooks called Penny Dreadfuls. And the story itself was called A String of Pearls, where Sweeney Todd was the antagonist. And it follows loosely the story of what the story we know now is. But it minus Mrs. Lovett, minus the judge, minus the Beetle Banford, minus the whole competition.
Minus
with
most
the,
of it.
Minus the good stuff.
The good stuff. And that's why they changed it. Then it got reiterated into a stage adaptation of that. And then it continued along just doing different stage adaptations. And the most current one for plays, which is renamed as Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street. This was done in 1973, where Christopher Bond did it. And it very much follows the story. This is the story as we know it.
Yeah.
And introduced Mrs. Lovett towards it. Do you want me to go more so on like...
You can tell us whatever you want to know.
That's pretty much then Sondheim took the took it to a musical point of view, where obviously elevating, you know, the emotion towards it. I sound very wanky whilst I'm saying this. To elevate the heightened reality towards it. It's kind of the tidbits that I found out and I know through the brains of Wikipedia.
The brains of Wikipedia.
Through the brains of Wikipedia.
Have you ever been in Sweeney Todd?
No, I have not, and I really want to.
One day.
Someone pay me to be Tobias.
Look, really that's asking a fair bit, but I will say it was nominated for 9 Tony Awards.
It was
in the year that it premiered, and it won 8 of them.
Yes.
Yep.
So best musical.
It did really well at drama desks too.
Yeah, so Drama Desk, it was nominated for, 13 and won 9.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So there's musical, book of a musical, score of a musical, performance by leading actor, performance by leading actress, direction of a musical, scenic design, costume design, and nominated for lighting but didn't win.
Oh, so, my.
Yeah, the big ones.
I was thinking the lights really let that show down.
did you see it?
No, it was too dark. Boom, boom, ching.
Okay, so that particular year at the Tonys.
I can't believe you set that up so beautifully.
That year at the Tonys, it was up against the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, well, that's why it won then.
Banger. They're playing our song.
It won because it's really good, shush.
Competition. Yeah, continue.
And Ballroom.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the only one I've ever I have heard of their playing our song. I can't bring any tunes from it to mind, though.
For Ballroom?
For their playing our song. I have no idea about Ballroom at all.
Yeah. Those are, like, I only know Hall House and out of the four that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like.
So, and then there was a really interesting restaging of this with Patti LuPone, where they reduced the orchestra and they reduced the cast, and the cast all played the music, multiple instruments throughout as they played. That was, I guess, that was the second revival?
Yeah, the second. Yeah. Yeah. Patti played a tuba. It was very good.
Patti played a tuba. That's a fun sentence.
Play a tuba. Someone give me a tuba so I can play it. No, I actually have that recording. That's the one, that's the version that I listen to the most.
Oh, great. Yeah. I haven't got that recording.
It's really good. Yeah. It's on iTunes, but I bought it when I was like 12 and annoying. I'm more annoying now, but like, at least I own my behavior this time.
True.
And then, of course, we had the Johnny Depp movie based on the musical. And they made some controversial choices with the music there, but Sondheim signed off on everything. So, you know.
You see, he does. Like, one of my favorite songs in the entire show is the Kiss Me Quartet, where it has, like, the both versions of it, and they got rid of it because it just shows, like, the character development of, like, four characters at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is great. But I dislike the movie version out of the versions that I've watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they cut the ballad.
Oh, they did too. Yeah.
But they didn't need it in that medium.
They didn't.
I understand.
But that is whenever anyone takes issue with what they did with the movie, that's what they bring up. So, you know. Great. Well, that's a taste of history of Sweeney Todd. Shall we take a break and come back talking about what actually happened?
Yes.
All right. So what happened in Sweeney Todd, Julie?
There once was a woman named Nellie Lovett. The show basically is about her. And
the unsung
some other
hero
stuff
of Sweeney
happened.
Todd.
I don't think she is unsung.
No, she's very oversung.
She's very quite there.
She's the sung hero.
I honestly think this show should be renamed Nellie Lovett.
Nellie Lovett's pie shop. And the dude
the
that comes
Nellie
in.
Lovett. And
Sweeney Todd, the demon barber. So yeah.
And have her name bigger and larger.
No, yes, exactly.
It needs to be, like, really downplay him. It needs to be Nellie Lovett and that guy. Nellie Lovett and the dude with the cutthroat.
And the antagonist.
Yeah.
The musical.
Yeah, great. Any hoozles, this is a read and a half, my friends. We start with a prologue. Delightful.
Is it?
I don't know. The citizens of London, acting as a Greek chorus to raise commentary throughout the play, drop a body bag into a shallow grave. Sweeney Todd rises forth and introduces the play, set some months before the burial. Dun, dun, dun.
Foreshadowing.
Act one. In 1846, young sailor Anthony Hope and Sweeney Todd, whom Anthony has recently rescued at sea, dock in London, where a half-crazed, not a full-crazed, just a half-crazed beggar woman sexually solicits them. Winky face!
There's no winky face.
It's quite direct.
Winky eyes! That's called a blink. Appearing to briefly recognize Todd. Todd tells Anthony of his troubled past as a naive barber when a crooked judge banished him in order to pursue his wife. Oh, my. Leaving Anthony, Todd enters a meat pie shop on Fleet Street where the owner, Mrs. Lovett.
The should-be titular character.
Wow.
Good old Nellie.
If there's not a day where you don't squeeze in the word titular, it's just not.
It's tradition now.
An MTMEIK episode, is it? Well, anyway, Mrs. Lovett laments about the scarcity of meat.
And how difficult cats are to catch.
When Todd asks about her empty upstairs apartment, she reveals that its former tenant, Benjamin Baker, was transported out
Barker.
Of England.
Benjamin Barker.
She can't read. Out of England on false charges by Judge Turpin, who, along with his servant, Biddle?
Edel Bamford.
Edel Bamford.
There we go. Then lured Barker's wife Lucy to the judge's home and did naughty things to her that she said she didn't want to happen.
At a party, no less.
Great times had by all. Todd's reaction reveals that he is himself Benjamin Barker. No way.
Benjamin Barker.
Promising to keep his secret, Lovett explains that Lucy poisoned herself and that their then-infant daughter, Joanna, became ward of the judge. Todd swears revenge on the judge and Beadle, and Mrs. Lovett presents Todd with his old collection of sterling silver straight razors, which persuades Todd to take up his old profession.
Uh-oh. My friend.
It will surprise no one that Miranda has actually played Sweeney Todd in Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd the Demon.
She was great. It was the first time I ever saw Miranda perform.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know that until a couple of years later.
Very ready to see Miranda as Sweeney Todd, though.
Sorry.
Elsewhere, Anthony noticed an exquisite blonde girl singing out of her window, as we Stalker. All do. And the beggar woman tells him that her name is Joanna. Unaware that Joanna is his friend Todd's daughter, Anthony is immediately enamored and he pledges to return for her even when the judge and Beadle chase him away. Gross. Like, come on. What is with people in musicals just being like, look at that one. I'll take it.
She's also singing about birds at the time too. So she's just going. Singing to the bird.
What a crazy that seemed to mole. Turn him on.
It's really weird.
Anyway. In the crowded London marketplace, a faux Italian barber, Adolfo Pirelli, and his simple-minded assistant, Tobias Rack, pitch a dramatic cure-all for hair loss.
Pirelli's miracle elixir.
Yeah. I've lost the plot. This is amazing. Todd and Lovett soon arrive. Todd exposes the elixir as a sham, challenges Pirelli to a shaving competition, and easily wins, inviting the impressed onlooking Beadle to a free shave. Guys, I think something bad might happen.
No, nothing bad. This is a happy musical.
Okay.
Like Julie, musical's about falling in love. Not about
sequence
death.
And tap shoes. Sequence and tap shoes.
Sequence and tap shoes.
Several days later, Judge Turpin. I don't know what that word is. What is that word?
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's self-harming himself.
Okay, they were
flagellate.
Thank you.
Okay, it sounds way dirtier than it is.
I thought it was something else.
Me too.
It's scripted that he does it naked, so.
Pwee! It is pretty dirty. A bigger role than it has to be.
And how?
Flagellates himself in a frenzy over a growing lust for Joanna. Oh my God, that sentence. Really? Anyway.
Well, he knows it's wrong.
But instead resolves to marry her himself. Weird. Anyway.
He's allowed to lust after her if he's married to her.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because then it's like, you know, notice by the church.
Disgust.
Yes.
Todd impatiently continues to wait for Beadle's arrival. But Mrs. Lovett attempts to calm him. When Anthony tells Todd of his plan to ask Joanna to elope with him, Todd, eager to reunite with his daughter, agrees to let them use his barbershop as a safe house. As Anthony leaves, Pirelli and Tobias enter and Mrs. Lovett takes Toby downstairs for a pie. Winky face?
No.
No.
Alone with Todd, winky face?
Oh, no. She wishes.
Pirelli reveals that he is actually an Irishman named Daniel O'Higgins, an assistant to Todd 15 years ago, who knows Todd's true identity. When Higgins attempts to blackmail his former employee, however, Todd...
Employer.
When O'Higgins attempts to blackmail his former employer, however, Todd injures and hides him, later slitting his throat.
And there we go.
First
and
one down.
So it begins.
It's the Tim whistle.
Meanwhile.
That was meanwhile. An amazing sound in my ear.
Which one? Shall I do it again?
No, thank you. Just continue.
Meanwhile, Joanna and Anthony plan their elopement while Beadle recommends Todd's services to the judge so that he can better win Joanna's affection.
I will say. It is the Beadle. Beadle is a title.
Oh, yeah. The bead. Anyway. At first,
the old beads.
Oh, my beads. At first, picked upon Panicked upon learning of Pirelli's murder, Mrs. Lovett seizes his leftover coin purse and then discusses with Todd plans to dispose of the body. Suddenly, the judge enters. Todd quickly seats himself and lulls him into a relaxed conversation. Before Todd can kill the judge, however, Anthony re-enters to explain the specifics of his and Joanna's plans, accidentally informing the judge, who storms out and vows never to return.
Which is a bit odd because he's like, would you ever just open a door and be like, I'm going to tell you my plan?
Yeah.
Like, if you're young and excited.
Oh, no, you know what? They're probably going, Papa, I'm going to marry him. Like as they do.
Yes.
Except I don't think she knows that she's his daughter at this point.
No.
No.
Anyway. Todd drives Anthony away in a furious fit of madness, determining that he will kill all future customers. Wow.
It's a good business plan.
That's a decision.
Mm. It's a choice.
Since all people deserve to die. Yeah.
Okay.
The rich to be punished for their corruption and the poor to be relieved of their misery, Mrs. Lovett slyly suggests that they use the flesh of Todd's victims in her meat pies, and Todd joyously agrees.
Yeah. He appreciates her practicality.
Yep.
Appreciates her practicality.
You know what? I appreciate your practicality. Oh, thank you, Mr. Todd, but nothing else.
I need to serve my bloodlust. Oh, you're just welcome to pies. Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do a 7-minute number about this.
But it is ooh, amazing. Like this, she just kind of she's right in. It's like, yep. Yes, you're killing them, and I will be making some pies out of it. Thank you.
Anything to please Sweeney.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's more the point, I think.
It's all about unrequited love.
Gross. Oh. Well, that's the end of Act 1. Act 2. Several weeks later, Mrs. Lovett's pie shop has become a thriving business, and Toby is now working there as a waiter. Todd and Mrs. Lovett acquire a specially designed mechanical barber's chair that allows Todd to kill his clients and then send their bodies directly through a chute into the pie shop's basement bakehouse. Sorry, I can't stop thinking of a particular pie shop as I'm saying it, and it's really putting me off pie.
Like, you just think of, like, Big Dad's Pies or something.
I'm Yatla thinking of pies. Yatla Pies.
Yatla Pies.
And I know they don't... Well, I don't know they don't do this.
Well, is there a barbershop on top of them?
No.
Well, then they probably don't do
not
this.
Not that we know of.
Exact thing.
I mean, it is Yatla, though, so you probably just shoot them instead.
Oh. And, guys, also... Please
shout out
note,
to all our Yatla listeners.
Shout out to Miranda Selwood, who made us pie tonight for dinner.
What was in it?
A priest.
Not lawyers. Steve.
Anyway, mundanely sitting in his whoa, that's not a sentence.
Slitting.
Yep, not sitting. No, that's the wrong
sitting
word.
Not sitting in his customers' throats.
But that's also funny. Mundanely slitting his customers' necks, Todd despairs about ever seeing Joanna again. While Anthony discovers that Joanna is missing, having been locked away in an insane asylum by the judge. Yeah, you know that hysteria will get everyone one day. After a day of hard work, Mrs. Lovett envisions a seaside retirement, but Todd remains fixed on his revenge. Ugh. Anthony arrives to beg Todd for help to free Joanna, and Todd devises a plan to rescue her by having Anthony pose as a wig maker intent on purchasing inmates' hair. Todd later sends a secret letter to notify the judge of Anthony's plot, hoping to lure the judge back to his shop. Sorry, I'm now also imagining like wigs made of inmates' hair. Titillating. Great times.
That's how it happened, didn't
yeah,
it?
I know. Yeah. Great times had by all.
Yeah. Except for the people in the insane asylum.
Yeah. In the pie shop,
Todd expresses suspicions against Todd. I'm a real bad guy. Maybe I shouldn't kill people.
And his own desire to protect Mrs. Lovett. When he recognizes Pirelli's coin purse in Mrs. Lovett's possession, she distracts him by showing him the bakehouse, instructing him how to work the meat grinder and the oven before locking him down there. Ugh. Upstairs, she encounters the beetle at her harmonium. Oh, delight. Requested by the neighbours to investigate the strange smoke emitted in the pie shop's chimney. Strange.
It's not strange, that strange,
I tell you. It doesn't look like steam.
London's a pretty polluted place. What can you do?
Yeah. Mrs. Lovett stalls the beadle until Todd returns to offer the beadle his promise of a free shave. Mrs. Lovett loudly plays her harmonium to cover the beadle's screams. As Todd is killing him in the basement, Toby discovers human remains in a pie just as the beadle's fresh corpse comes tumbling through the chute. Mrs. Lovett then informs Todd that Toby has discovered their secret and they plan to kill him.
Oh, poor Toby. No.
The things you got to do, honestly.
Killing small children or simple-minded people, depending on who's doing the show.
Anthony arrives at the asylum to rescue Joanna but cannot bring himself to shoot Jonas Fogg.
So he's this asylum owner.
You're onto it, babes. Thanks. The deranged asylum owner. Look, it's in the next sentence.
Oh, good.
The deranged asylum owner who tries to stop them. Joanna does so herself, grabbing the pistol. Ooh. Now the asylum's inmates pour out. Okay. That's a little sad. Like, she's been put in there by the judge. Whatever. That's the judge's problem. Then she shoots the guy that's like kind of just doing his job even though he's crazy.
No, he's a terrible
person.
He's
a terrible person because he's crazy. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's like, in the show. Like, he's a terrible person. Yeah.
He needs help.
Anthony's like, oh my God, move out of the way. I don't want to shoot you. And he's like, go on, shoot me. And then Anthony's like, no, I don't want to shoot you. And because it's Joanna, she's like, no, bang.
That's almost a direct quote.
This is why I'm not a director.
Now the asylum's inmates, who in my head I'm picturing Arkham Asylum and it's way more fun. Now the asylum's inmates pour out into the streets.
The Riddler's going this way.
You could definitely do Sweeney Todd as Batman characters with Sweeney as the Joker, Mrs. Lovett as Harley Quinn.
This is a great day had by all.
The
tell
judge
you
is Batman.
The judge is Batman.
Oh my gosh.
And like the Beatles Robin. Like
the Beatles Alfred, Joanna's Robin.
Joanna's Robin. And who's so Anthony?
Oh, I don't know, some other guy.
Some other guy.
Doesn't matter. You're kind of out.
Oh, Oracle.
There you go.
There you go. We're just nerding out here. Sorry, continue with the musical.
The asylums pour out onto the street, ecstatically proclaiming the end of the world while Todd and Mrs. Lovett hunt for Toby. And the beggar woman fears what has become of the beetle. Anthony and a disguised Joanna arrive to find Todd's shop empty. Anthony leaves to seek a coach after he and Joanna reaffirm their love. Winky face?
No.
No.
Left alone, Joanna hears the beggar woman.
This show's about murder, not sex.
You know what would spice this show up? A little sex, just like. Joanna hears the beggar woman enter, and so she hides. The beggar woman seems to recognize the room, but before she can make sense of it, the frantic Todd appears to greet the approaching beggar woman and lethally cuts her, sending her down the chute just a moment before the judge bursts in.
No.
I see the judge's robes, like, I have him in robes in my head, and they're flailing, like when Snape turns around in Harry Potter. Billowing,
it's just Professor Snape.
Oh, yeah, we went through this.
We did.
My bad. Todd assures the judge that Joanna is repentant, and the judge asks for a quick splash of cologne. Winky face?
No.
I mean, in his mind, it would be winky face.
He would be like, can I please have a quick splash of cologne?
Yeah, but he's literally asking for cologne. Like, literally. So there's no.
Yeah, but like, because he knows that Joanna's going back to the barbershop.
Oh, winky.
But even though, like, he put her into the asylum.
Winky.
It's there. It's wrong, but it's there.
Once he has the judge in his chair, Todd soothes and then suddenly mocks him. The judge recognizes him as Benjamin Barker just before Todd slashes.
Benjamin Barker!
And sends him hurtling down the chute. The disguised Joanna finally stands, horrified from her hiding place, surprising Todd. Todd next decides to kill her too, before Mrs. Lovett shrieks from the bakehouse below, providing a distraction for Joanna to escape. If that's all it took, honestly.
No, well, Joanna is disguised as a boy.
Right.
And when he kills her, he doesn't know who it is.
Right. But all it takes to disguise or to distract him is Mrs. Lovett going, bah! And he's like, oh, what? Sorry, did you call? Did you holler at me, girl? Like,
did you holler at me, girl? Good to know.
That's how you said it. Oh, Joanna to escape. Downstairs, Mrs. Lovett is struggling with the dying judge who claws at her. She then attempts to drag the beggar woman's body into the oven. Delish, fresh beggar woman. But Todd arrives and sees the lifeless face clearly for the first time. The beggar woman is his wife, Lucy.
Plot twist. He was going to kill her wife, his wife and daughter all in the same night.
Devo. Todd is in shock as Lovett confesses that she did not tell him the full story of Lucy because she loves him herself. Todd then feigns forgiveness, dancing manically with Lovett until pushing her into the raging fires of the oven, burning her alive.
Yep.
Whoa! Full of despair, Todd embraces the dead Lucy, and Toby, driven completely insane, and with his hair now white from shock, because that happens, now babbling nursery rhymes to himself, picks up Todd's fallen razor and cuts Todd's throat. Hey, look at him getting some.
He got his comeuppance.
Cahoonies. As Anthony, Joanna, and some constables break into the bakehouse, Todd falls dead and Toby drops the razor, heedless of the others while absentmindedly turning the meat grinder. That is G-Rose. You would make a great Toby.
Thanks. Thanks. I'm a little bit nutty. Yeah.
Epilogue. The citizens soon joined by the ghosts. That's so stupid. By the ghosts of Todd, Mrs. Lovett, and the others recite the Ballad of Sweeney Todd. The company exits with Todd and Mrs. Lovett being the last, with Todd exiting an abrupt slam of a door. Could do without the epilogue, just saying.
I just love that you laughed at the whole, like, oh, the ghosts of Todd, oh, dead people.
Dead people are funny. Some of the funniest.
I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
Hilarious.
Have you watched The Muppets Christmas Carol?
Unfortunately, no, not yet.
What?
I'm sorry, I don't watch a lot of Muppets.
What's wrong with you? Are you... Oh, we won't open that.
Okay, okay.
We will not open that can of worms country, right now.
I'm a country boy. We didn't get electricity until last week, okay?
That's a plot, guys. It's thick and it's juicy and that's it.
Is,
just like the pie.
There is a lot
it's
of it.
A meaty plot.
Okay, let's have a brief chat about the not brief amount of music in this show. Like all Sondheims, there is just music upon music upon music upon music and reprises of reprises and rearrangings of songs all the way through it. So I'm just going to run through. I know that Miranda has feelings about it. I have feelings about it. Joel, I hope you have feelings about
it. So many feelings about it.
So let's just...
Oh, that's fine.
Julie's also here.
Julie is happy to be here. She said the plot. She's done her job.
Well, Julie has told us that she's never actually seen the show.
But it is my favorite Sondheim.
All right. Well, Julie, if you have feelings,
you can
please stop me, tell me what they are, and we will pay honor to your...
It's going
to
be a long night, guys.
It's a safe space, but we will bring you back if it's too much.
The Ballad of Sweeney Todd. This is the chorus, and then eventually Todd. Introducing the idea of the story.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It sets the tone as well.
Absolutely.
Like, it's like reminiscent of like a Greek tragedy where like the chorus, like, this is the start of the show. Stuff is not going to go well.
Yeah.
And it starts not going well with No Place Like London, where it's just Todd hating on London.
Basically exposition. They say like London like seven times.
Yeah. So this is where we are apparently.
Yeah.
So where is it set?
I don't know.
Is it Edinburgh? Very hard to fit Edinburgh into London.
Yeah. And then you have good boy Anthony being like, and in the original like Broadway version, he's like, I am like a Ken Barbie doll.
And then we also have the beggar woman propositioning them. Yes. So they introduce that character.
Yes.
Barbara and his wife is Todd telling the story of how the judge split him up and transported him away so that he could go after his wife. Then we have the worst pies in London. This is Mrs. Lovett.
Which is Mrs. Lovett.
Introduction. So he walks into Mrs. Lovett's shop. She's like,
wait, what's your rush? What's your hurry?
First, okay, it's a customer. Oh,
well, yeah. In some versions, it does not include.
Is it not all versions?
A customer is not in.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, like, she's basically kneading the bread and, like, hitting things in so time with the music, which is actually, it's actually scored, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
I think it is. It's way too much. You gave me such a, I thought you was a ghost, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it because I can't read music properly. I so can't.
The beats are in the music.
Yeah.
As
the
beats.
Action was in the music that I sung from.
Yeah.
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 Because it said in there, needs dough, smacks on counter.
Yep. Yeah. Some of them are in there. Yeah.
Squashes cockroach.
But also, like, that is so reminiscent of, well, so it portrays Mrs. Lovett as a character because she's such a scatterbrain and she's like, oh, I have one thought here. Oh, wait, there's a thing here. Oh, there's a bug here. Let's smash that. Oh, how are you going?
Don't run away.
Here, you're the first customer I've seen. How is she so busy, but she hasn't had a customer for weeks? That's what I want to know.
She's not busy.
Yeah, but she wants to make herself look busy because she's professional.
Yep.
She's a professional, she's a darling. Professional.
And so we're five songs in and we get our first reprise.
Yes.
Barbara and his wife and poor thing. And his wife.
Yeah. So basically Lovett's just like, oh, this is what happened to Benjamin Barker's wife.
From my perspective. Because she loved Benjamin Barker. Yes.
She got raped and she died, but she didn't die. Mm. But I'm going to make you believe that she did die.
Then we have My Friends, which is
he gets the razors,
creepy.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to get my revenge with these. I'm going to kill people.
Ballad of Sweeney Todd, reprise
there's
one.
Counter melody in that for Mrs. Lovett, which was always one of my favorite parts of the show to sing.
Is it then? He's her friend. Mm. Yeah, now that he's back.
She's saying, I can be your friend too. Yeah. I'm also here.
I'm included in this.
Yeah.
A little bit. Pay attention, please.
I've got a fondness for you. I did. And then he's just completely and utterly absorbed by the razor because it's silver and it's amazing.
Green Finch and Linnet Bird, sung by Joanna.
Green Finch and Linnet Bird.
I love that she's like basically crying out for help and she's supposed like. And Ingenue is like, oh, I'm wishing to be freed, and it's very reminiscent. But she's just like everyone else, completely
wacky.
Bonkers.
Yeah,
I was going to say something else, but I couldn't swear. you're welcome.
And immediately after, we get Miss and Green Finch and Linnet Bird.
Yes,
reprise.
Anthony being like, oh, there's a really nice, there's a fit bird over there. Yeah. There's also a gal.
that musically the way the two songs work together is amazing.
It's yeah.
Like, and the syncopation between the two parts is very difficult for the performers.
So difficult.
So difficult. But you can't hear that. Like when it's done well, you can't hear that. The parts just flow into each other seamlessly. But yeah.
Real
challenge
to learn.
Must be
terrible.
Yeah.
Joanna by Anthony. So that's just Anthony's time to say, I like a girl.
Oh, and then the judges and Beetle is like, oh, you can't have her because she's mine. And then the Beetle beats him up. And then he's like, I want her. And then he's all broken. And it kind of goes a bit like sadistic and like, I'm going to have you if it's the last thing, which is very reminiscent of like very... of the show. Mm.
Gothic.
Very
horror,
gothic.
Yeah.
Such gothic horror.
And then we have the fun song, Pirelli's Miracle Elixir, which is Tobias, Todd, Mrs. Lovett, and the chorus.
Introducing best boy, Tobias.
Yes.
And faux Italian.
Pirelli, yes.
Which is the role I would like to play.
Yes.
Of course.
I could see you as Pirelli.
Everyone could see me as Pirelli.
You should do it.
Well, look.
We've had this conversation. If anyone listening, please put it on. Hire us.
And then the contest, which is Pirelli and singing while Todd beats him.
I literally thought you were going to say the contest, which will be between Miranda and Julie for Mrs. Lovett.
tooth pulling scene, which is Pirelli again. This is all
and
kind of tied in together.
Cut. these days.
Often, yeah. Yeah.
So the second half of the first half of the contest is the shave.
The second half is the
second half is the tooth pulling, and the tooth pulling is often cut from.
I wonder why. Like, who wants to see?
Because
like,
it's
tooth
unnecessary.
Pulling? I know.
Then we have Ballad of Sweeney Todd, reprise 2.
Let's bring in, that's bring
gonna
in the Greek chorus.
That is going to keep on happening.
Oh, yes.
For people who don't know, you are watching Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Joanna Mia Culpa. Now, this is Judge Turpin singing about Joanna while he whips himself naked on stage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a scene.
That happens.
It really kind of escalates the whole
It does.
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's meant so, yeah. I think it's necessary though, because like, let's just set the tone again, and then,
especially after you've just come out of the contest and that whole thing that seemed quite sort of lively and colourful, and to really just go, oh no, wait, we're not going to leave you there. We're going to bring you back here to the dark depths of the basement of the bottom of your mind.
And like the strange thing is that he believes like he's doing the right thing, because obviously he's getting his penance towards that. Mine's on airplane mode. I'm just being really mean to you, Miranda. And I love her
fine,
so much.
I'm never casting you in anything ever again.
That's fine. She'll cast me as a dancer, and that's just as bad.
I already did that.
I know. No, what I was saying, Turpin, like, he thinks it's necessary to have him to do it, and then has this lust he can't control over it. But then he's like, oh, in my brain, let's just marry her instead. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that'll fix all these problems. I won't have to whip myself.
Whip myself. And like, what is she? She's not of age, is she? She's like six.
Yeah, she's just come of age.
Yeah, she's just come of age. Yeah. Like, because she would be, because she's
16.
16, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a coming of age in this.
In 1846.
But then we go Mrs. Lovett singing Wait, basically calming Sweeney down, saying, look, you'll get your revenge. We don't need to like go out and just kill everyone in the streets.
Yeah. Sweeney, yes. No, don't do it.
Then into Pirelli's death. We're not even through Act 1 yet, guys.
Yep.
The Ballad of Sweeney Todd 3, which is a tenor trio. So it's just three guys or three citizens. Kiss Me, Joanna and Anthony, which is where they kind of formulate their plan and say, yes, okay, I guess we'll get married.
It's the best
Ladies
song.
And Their Sensitivities, Beadle and Judge Turpin. This is a creepy song.
If you want to woo her, go get a shave.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're gonna shave, women will flock to you.
Yeah,
like it's like my it's like the modern day equivalent of like milkshakes.
I didn't want to say anything, but you smell pretty bad.
Yeah,
so
that's saying something.
Yeah. Then we have the Kiss Me Quartet, which is Joanna, Anthony, Beadle, and Judge Turpin, which is basically turning their love song into this creepy echo coming from the judge.
Yeah, well, the judge and the Beatle and as well. Beatle, like, it's what we were saying before in the previous songs, where like with the Joanna and Greenfinch, where they're just basically like syncopated rhythms, and they're all telling their motives and whatnots.
Yeah,
it's all woven together.
It's so good.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for the performers who have to.
Yeah.
For Joanna and, Anthony.
Yeah.
Having to do Kiss Me and that, like, just, it's right hell for them. This show is awful for them.
But also, that it brings the best line of the entire show. It's just like, oh, did you leave the gate open? The gate. We don't have a gate. What? The absurdity of that line?
I always loved the one about her reticule.
Oh, yeah.
She says reticule like three
Leave
times.
The and then he kisses her.
Yeah.
It's definitely just.
Kiss me.
Just Sondheim loving the word reticule.
Yes.
It's a great word.
Yeah. It was his word of the day challenge.
My reticule.
So then we move on to Todd and Judge Turpin singing Pretty Women.
Yes.
Basically, Pretty Todd women. Really reveling in the fact that he's going to kill this guy at any given moment before he's interrupted. And then we get Epiphany. And this is Todd's song where he just basically. Goes crazy. Everyone needs to die.
Yeah.
I'm the person who's going to kill them all. The rich are corrupt. The poor are miserable. I'm going to kill everyone.
Let me more for like, would you think that's more for like him giving justice or him just being like, nah, I just don't like anybody.
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's like, if I'm willing to kill for any reason, then any reason will do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think he convinces himself he's purging the world.
Yeah.
Of suffering.
Of suffering.
Because no one's, you're either causing suffering or you're suffering, yeah. In which case death is better.
Yeah. And this is because he can't get his own justice because obviously he's not killing Turpin. Yeah.
And he says there's a line in there about, you know, he'll practice on all of these people.
Yeah.
Until he gets the chance to get the judge. Yeah.
And then because we can't end on such a dark note, we have a little priest. This is love.
It's a great number.
It's hilarious. It's
great. I don't
think
I ever got all the words in the right order, but it was fun.
No, I think you got it. When I saw it, you got it right.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. You did.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It definitely would have surprised Miranda as well.
As a first year uni student, me loving this show, being like, she got it all right. Awesome. I love it. Great. Good job, whoever your name is. And then I found out it was Miranda.
It was me.
Yeah, such
and then and so that's the end of Act One. So let's start on Act Two. Another one kind of carrying the energy over from Act One. God, that's good. Which is business is good.
Yep.
Let's make everyone eat people.
Tobias is a waiter. It's great.
Really fast.
Sing it really
fast. Sing really fast.
Over and over and over again.
The few chorus numbers.
So good.
This is the number I hated the most.
Why'd you hate it the most?
Because it was so difficult and pointless and the choreo was bad.
It was not pointless.
It sets up
the passage of time, the change of feel and fortune.
Yep.
Tobias gets to sing some more.
The arrival of the new chair.
Yep.
It's very important.
Very important. Very important.
The chair is also going to be Sweeney's friend.
My experience in this show is very different to Miranda's.
Of course.
Let's move on. Joanna. The Joanna Quartet, which is Anthony Todd, the Beggar Woman, and Joanna. So this kind of gets us back into
passage
the story.
Time. Yeah. Yep. Joanna's now in an asylum. Insane asylum.
Yeah.
Sorry. It is a Sunday.
And then we move into what might be my favorite song, By the Sea.
Okay.
Really? No one likes it.
No, I enjoy it.
Let me think. No.
Because it shows that, like, it shows Lovett's, like, obsession to be like, I don't want to be a working girl anymore. I want to live with you and be, like, good with you.
And the totally different places that Lovett and Todd are coming from.
Yeah.
And how hard she's trying to make it
work. I want normalcy. You kill people for a living. I'm sorry.
Well, she's, you know, we could have a guest house and.
Yeah.
You can kill
people.
You
can kill a few guests every now and then. You know, if you like it, that's fine.
And then we get the first of several sequences in Act Two. So we have the wig maker sequence, which is Todd and Anthony, which goes into the Ballad of Sweeney Todd reprise number four. So that's, yeah.
It's a fade in.
Yeah.
It's a fade in while they list off all the different ways you can say blonde.
There's a lot. There's a lot of different blondes.
Gonna break my girl out. That's the song.
Yeah.
What?
Gonna break my girl out.
Okay.
Of the asylum.
Then we have The Letter, which is a quintet and Todd. And Not While I'm Around, Tobias and Mrs. Lovett. This is the.
Oh my God.
This is the other contender for
it's
favorite
just
song.
Like, oh, it's my favorite song because Toby sings it.
I think for both Toby's and Mrs. Lovett's, it should be the favorite song.
Yes.
Right? Is that true, Mrs. Lovett?
It's a very poignant moment for their relationship because you see the real development of the mother-child between them. And by the end of the song, Mrs. Lovett's made the very regrettable decision. She knows she's got to
kill him.
Yeah.
It's also like the mirroring of like, oh, this is what a mother son relationship should be. And then like she's realizing this isn't real. And like she's doing it to survive.
Yeah.
It's
Aww.
He builds up a relationship and then breaks your heart in the one song.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so great. Like old people feeling things. Is Miss Love is not necessarily old, but she's definitely has that parental moment.
Yeah.
How to get
and it's funny, she has the parental moment that Todd never does about his own daughter.
True.
Yeah. It's only kind of about justice and revenge for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then we go into the second sequence, which is parlor songs. Sweet Polly Plunkett by the Beatles.
Oh, God.
The Tower of Bray, the Beatle, Mrs. Love and Tobias. And Sweet Polly
How many
Plunkett
bells
reprise.
Are there? I feel like you might have just not said any words just then. Like, granted, I also wasn't listening, but I just heard a whole heap of words.
And this is basically just the Beatle invading her space and making her uncomfortable. While going about his investigation, kind of upping the tenseness of what's happening on stage because it's about to all come to its climax.
Raising the stakes, yeah. I would say.
Then we get The Ballad of Sweeney Todd, reprise 5 by the Chorus and the Lunatics.
Oh, yeah, the Lunatics.
And then we have what is only called the final sequence.
Final sequence.
Yeah. I will.
City on Fire? Did we miss City on Fire?
No, I will list what is in the final sequence.
Okay.
City on Fire, Searching, Our Miss Reprise, Beggar Woman's Lullaby, Pretty Woman Reprise, The Ballad of Sweeney Todd Reprise 6, and the final scene. This is like half the act.
Yeah, it does. It just rolls right through, doesn't it? Yeah.
So there's just kind of like one big switching from one part of the stage to another, yeah. And then we get the Ballad of Sweeney Todd reprise 7 to end the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where ghosts appear.
There is a lot of singing in this musical, and like Into the Woods may have the most words, but I think Sweeney Todd has the most notes.
Has the most reprises.
Yeah, definitely the most reprises.
It's almost sung through.
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the music. Yay. So we got through that. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about who's been in it.
Yay.
All right, Miranda, who has been in Sweeney Todd?
Almost everybody.
All right. So I guess we'll just list off the people who haven't been in it, shall we?
Yeah, all right. That might be quicker. No, we're going to talk about who was actually in it, but really briefly, just going to mention one of the great things I love about this show is that the deep, dark leads that have personality and character are not a soprano and a tenor. So this is a show that stars a bass baritone opposite a mezzo or an alto.
Spoken like a true mezzo.
Yeah. Yeah, love it. With the tenor and soprano going to the romantic leads in the show who are...
G-Rose.
They just sort of hang around and whine a lot.
As all good tenors and sopranos do.
How dare you?
Yeah, no, you got a point.
But anyway, so yeah, let's talk about people. Oh my God, this is going to take forever. Does anyone want to time it? No. Just for funsies?
You've got 5 minutes.
Cool. I don't have 5 minutes. This is going to take longer than that. Okay, so the original Broadway cast in 1979, this was directed by Hal Prince, who would then take it on to various other productions, including in London. That starred Len Carew and Angela Lansbury, and they both won both the Tony Awards and the Drama Desks for their performances in that original cast.
And that was Angie Baby's, like, second musical?
It was her second Sondheim.
Sondheim. Len Carew was replaced by George Hearn for the national tour, which was recorded for the Entertainment Channel in 1982. So George Hearn would continue to do the show many times.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Victor Garber, back to the original, sorry. Victor Garber played Anthony, Sarah Rice, Joanna. Ken Jennings won the Drama Desk for his portrayal of Toby. And Merle Louise won the Drama Desk for the Beggar Woman. So they were both supporting role nominations. Original London cast, Dennis Quilly won the Laurence Olivier Award for his portrayal of Sweeney, and he played opposite Sheila Hancock in the role of Mrs. Lovett. Not too many other big names in that. So we'll move on. First Broadway revival, 1989. The show is directed by Susan Shulman, whose name I recognize, but I can't think why. Not too many big names in that one. Bob Gunton and Beth Fowler played Sweeney and Mrs. Oh, Lovett.
Beth Fowler from Orange is the New Black.
Really? Okay.
Is it?
We'll find
I
out.
I know it is Beth Fowler. She plays the sister, the nun.
Yeah,
Fowler. That's
her. Oh, sweet.
OMG.
Oh,
sweet.
There we go. The first London revival in 1993 was directed by Declan Donnellan and Donnellan. Sondheim praised his Donnellan. Donnellan. It's just Donnellan. Calm down, everyone. Declan Donnellan. It looks longer than that. Sondheim praised him for the small chamber approach to the show, which was Sondheim's original vision for the piece. So he took it from the bigger than Ben-Hur giant chorus that Hal Prince had built up.
Rotating set. Like,
and reduced it all and made it smaller and more personal and scarier.
That would make it scarier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweeney Todd was played by Alan Armstrong, who won the Laurence Olivier Award for his performance, as did Julia McKenzie in the role of Mrs. Lovett. Alan Armstrong, incidentally, was replaced during that season by Dennis Quilley, who had done the original London. Mm. So he came back. There's a lot of that in the history of this show. Let's keep going.
Yay!
1999, a reprise concert or reprise concert. We talk about these fairly regularly. These are short runs. They just do a week or, you know, a few or up to about
usually
10
like,
performances.
Yeah, between 3 and 10.
And they tend to get like a names. Really good LA cast. So these are movie people. Kelsey Grammer in the role of Sweeney Todd and Christine Baranski as Mrs. Lovett.
Now, Kelsey Grammer I can't picture as Sweeney. Christine Baranski I can see
Christine Baranski. I can't see the other one.
First New York Philharmonic concert production, 2000, quickly followed by, in 2001, the San Francisco Symphony concert version. So these were both semi-staged productions and starred George Hearn back from the original tour and Patti LuPone as Mrs. Lovett. Neil Patrick Harris as Tobias. Timothy Nolan played Judge Turpin, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Audra McDonald did the New York season, but not the San Francisco, as Beggar Woman, and was replaced by Victoria Clark for San Fran. Oh my God, we're on page two, everybody.
Wait, were we coming back to Judge Turpin?
Judge yes.
Turpin.
Just that name.
Okay.
Timothy Nolan, Judge Turpin. So now we're in the 2000s. We're just in Revival City.
All the revivals.
Yeah.
All the time.
So there was what is termed the second London, second Broadway, and the second US national tour cast. All three were directed by John Doyle, and this is the production that was notable for not having an orchestra. So the 10-person cast, which is the smallest cast ever professionally produced, also played the entire score themselves on musical instruments that they carried on stage. I cannot imagine how that worked, but apparently
it's amazing.
Let's
just kill our cast, shall we?
Amazing.
Patty playing a tuba.
So John Doyle did this in London in 2004 and then transferred it to Broadway and then took it on tour. The original London of this version starred Paul Hegarty and Karen Mann, but they were replaced for the 2006 British Isles tour of that production by Jason Donovan and Harriet Thorpe.
Okay.
Just want to let you sit with that for a second.
All right.
Jason Donovan played Sweeney Todd in a 10-person cast where they played their own instrument.
I don't like it.
Can't be about it, really.
Yeah, well, it happened, everybody.
It happened.
When they did it on the Broadway, Michael Severus and Patti LuPone played Sweeney and Lovett, which is quite a famous pairing for that production. Mark Jacoby played Turpin in that one. And that's all I got for that. Some of them, that cast continued on the tour, but most of the roles were redone. That was followed by the film. Tim Burton won the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy for the film Interpretation. Johnny Depp got the Oscar and Golden Globe nomination but won neither for Sweeney Todd. And, of course, we mentioned Helen Bonham Carter played Nellie Lovett. Alan Rickman, best Judge Turpin ever in the world, in my personal opinion. And Sacha Baron Cohen did a wonderful Adolfo Porelli.
You also had Laura Michelle Kelly as well as Beggarwoman.
As Beggarwoman, yes. And Timothy Spall and Ed Saunders and Jane Wasner and Jamie Campbell Bower. Who knows?
That's Anthony Hope.
The third London revival in 2012. I know.
We're getting there. We're on 2012.
The third London revival in 2012 was directed by Jonathan Kent and reset in the 1930s. They also restored the often cut Joanna. So this is the mea culpa flagellation that is often not in the show.
I wonder why.
It's so important for his character development.
I think a lot of people, firstly, don't want to spend time developing the character of the judge because you want to just hate him and move on.
Yeah.
Because that helps you connect with and like
the others.
Sweeney.
Yeah.
That's one of the big troubles with this show is you've got to convince an audience that they need to
kill everyone.
Yeah.
That's the message that we need to give.
That's the message. But that production starred Michael Ball as Sweeney and Imelda Staunton as Mrs. Lovett.
I would have liked to have seen that for a long time.
They both won the Laurence Olivier Awards for that production. Lucy May Barker played Joanna Barker, which I just find humorous because she has the same last name.
And if she has a pet dog, that dog's name is automatically Barker.
Barker. Oh, my God.
It's too easy. But, like, would it take the same last name as well? Would it be Barker Barker?
Oh, well, you wouldn't call it Barker. You'd call it Fido Barker.
Fido Barker.
Yeah.
Love it.
Please start. Right, good. Okay. The second New York Philharmonic concert production, followed by the National Opera production in 2014 and 2015, starred Bryn Terfel as Sweeney and Emma Thompson as Mrs. Lovett. These were concert versions. Again, they were semi-staged, but this one was even less staged than the previous.
Yes.
Well, on the 2014 version with the New York one, they actually started off so, we're singing this, and then literally after the first song, they like flip the piano over and like, okay, now we're doing this, and they're ripping their shirts off as well. And Emma Thompson in that is just brilliant, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a striking moment when that turns. That also had Philip Quast as Judge Turpin, which I think is amazing. Just amazing.
And had Audra as well.
Audra McDonald played the beggar woman
back
for some time. And she was momentarily replaced by somebody with an unpronounceable name. And Christian Ball played Pirelli, which I've seen it and I must have known at the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't retain that information. There was too much else happening. So here we are at the end of my page, everybody. The fourth London revival, the CamMac production of Sweeney Todd. Starring Jeremy Seckham as Sweeney and Siobhan McCarthy as Mrs. Lovett. That production transferred to from the Tooting Arts Club production of the show. So some people in this tiny little place in London opened the show in a pie shop, Harrington's Pie Shop in Tooting, London, which is the oldest pie shop in the world,
delicious.
Probably, but in London. They put this like tiny production in the shop and served pies at the same time, and it was just out of this world amazing hit. So Cam Mack picked it up and said, let's do the same thing on West End. We'll do the same thing on West End, and I will build the Harrington's Pie Shop in the theatre for you to do the same thing.
Here's some Mac money.
Yeah. And then Cam said, hey, that worked well. Let's go do that on the Broadway as well.
On the Broadway.
Yeah. So they're
off Broadway.
Their set was they built the freaking pie shop. Pretty amazing. Mm. Jeremy Seckham and Siobhan McCarthy moved, like took that from West End to Broadway, to off Broadway, sorry. But then were replaced by Norm Lewis and Carolee Carmelo. She sounds delicious.
She does.
Because that version had Matt Doyle in it, didn't he? He was playing Anthony, wasn't he?
Yes, Matt Doyle played Anthony. Yeah. And friend of the show, Brad Oscar, played Beetle Bamford.
Woo! Yeah, because I would be very interested to see that because I always see Matt Doyle as he's Spring Awakening. He's also in one of the productions of Bear as well.
Is that the end?
Nope. Really? We have a tiny couple of things to say.
Oh, sorry. God, what
just
now?
A tiny, tiny 1987 Australian production.
We can't not mention Nancy
the
Hayes.
The State Opera of South Australia produced the first professional Australian production in September of 1987, directed by Gail Edwards, as everything was at the time. Featured Lyndon Terracini as Todd and Nancy Hayes as Mrs. Lovett, with Peter Cousins playing Anthony. The following month, MTC picked it up, but it was a completely different production, new director. Geraldine Turner played Mrs. Lovett for that one.
Geraldine Turner.
And then that toured Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. In 2015, there was a Victorian Opera Company production that did Melbourne Arts Centre for a short run and then toured New Zealand. And that starred Teddy Tahu Rhodes as Sweeney Todd and Antoinette Halloran as Mrs. Lovett.
Mm. I don't think I can see the Tahu Rhodes as Sweeney. Maybe I can't or I don't want to.
I think it's the latter because I can definitely see it.
Is that?
Nope.
No.
That was all the things that we have talked about then, the Broadway people's versions of the show. The show has also had a life in opera houses with opera companies, and in Australia that's where we saw it. We saw it coming from the opera side of things, but with this mix of opera personalities and music theatre people. But just very briefly, I swear, one of the early opera productions included Timothy Nolan in the title role, and we saw him later in some of those concert versions.
Believe you mean titular role.
Yeah.
You're 2 for 2 now.
You're right, I did. As you. Judge Turpin, so that's what we mentioned before. Hal Prince also recreated the a simplified version of the staging of the original for the New York City Opera in 1984, which did a few runs and was brought back in 86 and 2004. And in 2004 starred Elaine Page as Mrs. Lovett for New York City Opera.
Well, that makes
so there you go. Yeah. And I'm just going to, yes, I've done that. Yes, covered. Yes, I've done everything. Yes. One more thing. Director Lonnie Price directed a semi-stage concert version. This is the 2000 Lincoln Center New York concert with the New York Philharmonic, starring George Hearn and Patti LuPone with Neil Patrick Harris. George Hearn actually came in as a last-minute substitute for Bryn Terfel, who was supposed to do that run and didn't.
And George was like, I've done it before, I'll do it again.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
I'm done.
I want to mention one person, and I'm surprised you didn't come up. In 2011, there was a production in Paris, and there Mrs. Lovett was Carolyn O'Connor.
Oh, my God.
Really? And Sondheim's gone on record saying that is his favourite Mrs. Lovett performance.
Oh, my God.
She's perfect for it.
She's perfect for it. So congratulations, Carolyn O'Connor. Please come on the show.
She's plugging Carolyn O'Connor.
That's going to happen.
So speaking of that, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk Dreamcast.
Woo!
All right. So I'm just going to put it out there. Carolyn O'Connor is my ideal Mrs. Lovett.
You can't just say what Stephen Sondheim said and pretend it was your own idea.
You can't be like, yeah, I'm as good as Stephen Sondheim.
I when I first heard of that production, it was, that's great casting. And then at the end of that production, Sondheim came out and said, that's my favorite, Mrs. Lovett. He also spoke very highly of Helena Bonham Carter in the movie.
Well, see, he doesn't have great judgment.
And I think that that's very different than what Carolyn O'Connor would give. So I don't know. I don't know what Sondheim's thinking.
Zane, if Stephen Sondheim would jump off a cliff, would you follow suit?
It depends what cliff.
True.
Instant and death. Whether Carolina Connor is at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, all these are factors that you have to take into account.
Look, I'm a fan of the original. I do love Andrew Lansbury as it. Like, I also listened to it when I was like 15 or however old I was. And like, I love the look of her towards it. Maybe not necessarily her voice at the time, but like, I've got her look, but like Patti LuPone's mannerisms and her voice, because I've listened to the recording so many times. I have the her version on it. That would be my perfect casting for that.
For Mrs. Lovett.
For Mrs. Lovett.
I went someone a little different, whose name I cannot say, so I'm so glad I picked her. Keala Settle? Settle? She is in Waitress. She is, oh man alive, why do I do this to myself every damn week? She was also in The Greatest Showman as the bearded lady.
Oh, she's the sassy girl. Okay, cool.
I put her as Mrs. Lovett because I think she would do a bang up job.
Yeah, okay.
All
right. I understand it, yeah.
I've only ever seen her in The Greatest Showman, so.
Have you not listened to Waitress?
I've listened to Waitress, yeah. Yes, but I haven't seen any productions of Waitress.
I'll send you the
I mean, we're not endorsing this.
It's not like we're recording you or anything.
This is the problem. I was like, when I was going through these, like, who would be the dream cast? I could not find a Sweeney because I find that, like, he's not, like, yes, the show is about him, but, like, I don't care about him because he's, to me, he seems so, like, set on
also,
one
he
thing.
Doesn't have, like, a big character. He is just kind of insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found a Sweeney. But before Miranda also wrote down the list and I found out that he'd played the judge, Philip Quast as Sweeney. Yeah. I just think, again, bang up.
He could definitely do it. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. He's got a delightful voice.
As a judge, my pick as always.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Hang on. Which old man is going to be this time?
Wait for it.
Miranda, do you want to guess which old man it's going to be?
Yeah, the one from 30 Rock.
Okay, John
Not
Lithgow.
30 Rock, the third rock from the sun.
Is it John Lithgow?
It isn't. He would make a good judge.
No, he wouldn't.
But I was going to go Jeffrey Rush.
Oh.
Sorry. So yeah. It's the other
See,
one.
I was actually thinking him for the Beetle.
Yeah.
Jeffrey. Instead.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Good old Jeff.
He does do a good snivel.
He does, yeah.
I would like to see Alan Tudyk as the Beetle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. Also, Alan Tudyk would be a good Toby.
No.
Why?
He's too funny.
He's too funny. You can't play the role. You can play serious when you...
He can't. Have you seen any of his movies?
Yeah, true.
Pirelli, then.
Maybe. Well, no, I want John Barrowman to play Pirelli.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Who did you want for Turpin again? Sorry?
Jeffrey Rush.
Oh, Jeffrey Rush. Sorry. No, I'm with you.
I want
Rickman because, like, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, but you can't have him because he's rude.
Yeah, it was a dream cast.
Yeah. In our dreams. In our dreams, Alan Rickman is still alive.
Stop talking
and in
about
our
it.
Hearts.
But just back to John Lithgow real quick.
Yeah.
I recently watched, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it happened, the third...
The third Rock from the Sun?
No. The movie with the singing.
This is really
Sweeney Todd,
good
the Demon
descriptor.
Bible of Fleet Street.
I know. With the a cappella singing.
Pitch Perfect 3. Yeah, you should be ashamed. That's disgusting.
And John Lithgow sang in that and it was fucking awful. He also did the worst Australian accent anyone has ever committed to film.
Is he meant to be...
Okay, all right. Can Rebel I ask Wilson's you two father. Questions? Does Sweeney Todd sing or speak in an Australian accent?
I hope not.
That's
he
right.
Did in my
and
production.
Does Sweeney Todd sing a cappella with a group of girls?
Well, actually, like going back to that one, he was in Australia for 15 years.
Don't Don't you dare. Yep. Don't you dare.
Yes.
You are triggering me and I'm ending this segment and we're coming back and we're doing top five lists.
Okay.
Oh, someone has all the power.
All right, if this musical was on some top five lists, what top five lists would it be on?
We've already previously put it on top five shows featuring baked goods.
Yeah,
we have.
Top five we've mentioned best it. Pies in
and
a
then
musical.
You can, well, yeah, you can really narrow that one down to top five pie related musicals.
So yeah, Waitress and Sweeney.
I know. Now we just have to add three.
I'm sure there's like an American Apple Pie musical or something.
American Pie?
No, it's not American musical. Pie musical.
That would be awful. Hang on, I'll Google it. But it would be really bad.
Off Broadway.
Top five, just number of reprises. Because it's hefty. Maybe.
Seven.
Like, it's seven of one song.
Yeah.
All up, it's 19.
Oh, gosh.
In the track list.
Oh, no.
So that's a lot of reprises.
Sweeney and Rent.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. 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 Top five horror musicals.
Sure. Ooh, top five Victorian gothic mm-hmm. musicals as well.
Top five.
There are a lot more of those though, because yeah. Wildhorn mainly.
Yeah.
He's done all of them. except
has a monopoly.
But they're all notoriously flops. So yeah.
Well, except Jekyll and Hyde. But Troubled.
Yeah, but bring that to Australia. Wait, what?
I would put it in top five Sondheim.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Where would it sit though?
Very close. Depends.
Very close. What depends. Would be number one? That's
we'll
what
do
I
a Patreon
know.
Episode about it.
I don't know. Maybe Popular Sondheim.
Popular Sondheim would be
into
up
most
there.
Popular Sondheim.
Yeah, Into the Woods would be up there. And so would Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. And then Company.
Company, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about A Little Night Music. No. Gypsy. Actually, no, Gypsy would be up there.
Oh, Gypsy. Stop.
And Something Happened on Later Forum, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, like, it'd be like a five, like number five.
Yeah, well, I honestly don't know what would be the most popular Sondheim, but definitely Into the Woods and Sweeney Todd for one and two.
But a pile.
In whatever order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other top five lists?
Top five ways to kill your neighbor? Like,
top five onstage murders?
Yeah.
Top five inventive uses for a barber's chair?
what are the other ones?
I mean, she could list them, but.
Top five sets explicit. In a musical, because like that in the original Broadway, it was like a box, and then they obviously had like all these intricacies towards it.
A lot of interesting sets.
Five most revived musicals.
Would you like me to go through the cast list again?
No, we have got 20 minutes. Sorry,
because that's at least 16 professional
and
revivals.
That's just London and
Broadway.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's definitely
it's
popular.
It's been translated to a lot of languages too, so it's been seen in a lot of places. Mm.
I'd like to hear this in a different language.
I would put Love It
Japanese?
Top five female characters.
So would I.
Yep.
Because it touches like
she's very complex.
Male-female love relationships.
Yeah.
Mother-son relationships and just single woman kind of dynamic as
working
well when
woman
she's
as well.
Dealing
yeah.
Yeah,
for
top
her
top five
own.
Business owners.
Top five, you know, growth plans for your business.
Success plans.
Top five uses of meat. Oh.
All right. Okay. I think we're running towards the end of the segment. So let's stop. We'll come back and we will talk about the lessons we've learned. All right, so what has Sweeney Todd taught us? That everyone deserves to die?
Oh, don't trust a pie.
Don't trust a pie. I think
always check under the lid.
Well, I think it's taught us that human pies are real tasty.
Workplace
yeah,
health
well,
and safety
people
regulations.
Seem to like them, so.
No, I think that the show teaches us like the dangers of obsession. So, like, obviously, Sweeney Todd is obviously so hell-bent on revenge of, you know, getting one up on Turpin, and that just divulges because he can't get it, and he's just, like, trying to plan these things, and it's just the obsession towards it, and it's every single character has that.
Yeah,
so,
I guess it kind of really focuses on the obsession of unrequited love.
Yes.
Because you've got the judge, you've got Mrs. Lovett,
yeah.
And you've got Anthony.
But also for Lovett as well, like, she she doesn't want to be a businesswoman. She wants to be like, what I see Love It as, she wants to like be taken care of. And she also doesn't want to work. And like the way she steals the coin purse from Pirelli, she's like, oh, this is nice. I like nice things because I'm a nice gal. And then the way she buys all these new, like she wants to elevate her status and her obsession with that as well.
She wants to reach the middle class.
Yeah, she wants to reach.
I think I might be identifying too much with Mrs. Lovett right now.
We all have. We all go through that realization at some point.
I think I might be that.
I murder heaps?
But also like taken from like Joanna, her obsession to escape as well with Greenfinch and Lindbergh. Like she's thought about this so much.
That she won't stop banging on about it out a window.
She's literally become a bird.
But well, she it also means that she jumps at the first opportunity.
She takes the first opportunity.
She takes, as soon as she can. And then, like, Anthony, yes. It's more so obsession, more so lust, which is, you know, I would say more lust than love at the start. And then having Turpin, having the
flagellation.
The flagellation. Thank
there
you.
Oh, stop. Sorry, I'm doing that a movie. Word.
I realize we're doing an audio based medium.
I mean, you can flagellate yourself all you want, but no one's going to be able to hear
it. It's disgusting. It's
the dangers of that. And also for Toby being like the wanting of like a motherly figure or a family, and then realizing that not everything is as cracked up to be, and because he got into it too quick. We are also having coffee after this.
So what else did we learn?
I closed my list.
I learned that stagecraft saves lives.
Yeah, sure does.
Oh, no.
Saves all the lives. I guess we could also say that being a barber is quite dangerous. At least being a barber in Britain during this particular period.
Hey guys, are you ready for a scary fact?
Yes.
I own a cutthroat.
Me too.
Because
me three.
My grandfather was a barber, but it's a real rusty one.
Well, I guess.
Good to know.
Is that better or worse?
I mean, it's probably more dangerous for the person trying to pry it open than it would be for anyone trying to cut.
I inherited one from my grandfather as well.
Oh, I got one from my mum. That's even weirder. she's a hairdresser. It's fine.
She's suggestive.
She's suggestive.
Love you.
Now if your boss gives you lip.
Anything else?
I think there's a lot to learn about, you know, the state of the human existence. And if you delve into it too deep, it can be a very, very dark hole.
Like the descent into madness as
like
well.
Like a descent into madness.
I guess also the dangers of that kind of nihilism.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you decide that nothing matters, then anything, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Because nothing matters.
So. And it's a scary reality of the world that we live in today that's happening regularly. Just people being people.
I mean, you did the mind blown gesture, but it just sounded like a gunshot.
Well, that too. Take your pick. See what you like.
All right. Okay. Well, if there's no other lessons, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we will say goodbye. Well, thanks, Joel, for coming and bringing us some more Sondheim to talk about.
Oh, well, thanks, Joel. So much. I think this might be even our quickest Sondheim. It feels shorter.
It's, no, Miranda it doesn't feel
it's,
as,
it's giving them a run Miranda for their money. They're all ended up over 1.5 hours.
But we didn't spend 45 minutes talking about music like I usually do, because
this is why
I
you're not
spent 25
on
minutes talking about cars.
But now we know everyone who's ever been in
ever. It's not my fault everybody's done it.
It's true. It is a very big show.
It's a very good show
attached.
As well. And like it went faster because we're all friends and we're having, you know, chats together.
Because you're delightful.
And we stopped and had pie.
We did stop and have pie.
Jinx!
All right. Okay. Well, if you want to hear more of us, you can find us online at thatsnotkindofproductions.com, along with all of our other sister podcasts on there. And if you want to find us specifically, we are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can send us an email at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com, or if you want to be one of our illustrious patrons, yes, you can go to patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know.
Do it.
Pledge us a dollar or two and you get some bonus episodes.
Some special gifts.
Special gifts and like some extra reviews.
Naked photos of us.
No.
I haven't posted any of those.
No?
So
I'll give you my pie recipe though.
Okay. Ooh. We will post a pie recipe.
Woo. Oh, that's so huge.
We'll put that up there. So thanks to everyone who's already become a patron. But if you don't want to give us money, if you don't have any money to spare, you can just tell a friend about us. Get them to listen
that's
in.
That's helpful too.
We all have that friend that loves musicals as much as we do, if not a little bit more. So tell them about us and so that you can spread the word that way. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher or Google Play and really any podcatcher of your choice.
Yeah.
Except Spotify.
For now. But we will get Spotify one day. We will get them.
How many times do we have to say
just
it?
Just tweet to Spotify.
You have to tweet them. You have to tweet Spotify.
Tweet them. It's too painful.
Oh, Joel.
I'm tweeting now.
Tweet them, please.
And if you are following us on iTunes, give us a rating and a review. That helps iTunes push us on our own regard. So you don't have to do anything but give us 5 stars and a like, great show, guys. And that'll help.
Great show, guys.
Great show. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Joel.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you, Miranda.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here with you on this day and take far too long to talk about.
Oh, stop you doing it again.
Extending the runtime. Extending the runtime.
And thank you, Julie.
Oh, thank you.
And I've been Zane C. Webb, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.